Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you're with us. Now, what do we study at Lon Solomon Ministry? Come on, the Bible, what? The whole Bible, what? Nothing but the Bible, right? And then we apply it to our life. That's what we're going to do right now. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, you would open our hearts now to understand it, that you would anoint me to teach it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And what? Amen. Okie dokie. We're in Acts chapter 4. A little bit of background. Peter and John have healed the man who was lame, who was lying at the beautiful gate on the southern side to the temple. People ran in from all over when they saw this man dancing and leaping and praising God. The rabbis heard about it. The rabbis called Peter and John and this man in front of them, and then they grilled them to find out what in the world had happened. And of course, Peter and John, Peter says those famous words that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, Acts 4:12. Well, the rabbis go off and have a little convocation of their own and decide, let's read it, look what they decide. We'll pick up verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, verse 16, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done by them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. We talked last week about how can people see a miracle like this, one that even the rabbis say it's so real and it's so tangible that we can't even pass it off as a hologram or hallucination. There's no way we can deny it. Next verse. And so the rabbis said, why don't we consider that we might have miscalculated about this Jesus person, and let's sit down and listen to the disciples and hear what they have to say. And no, what they did say, verse 17, is but so that it spreads no farther among the people, let us severely threaten them, Peter, John, the disciples, that from now on they speak to no man in this name, the name of Jesus. And they called them in and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so, when they, the rabbis, had further threatened them, Peter and John, and through them, the disciples, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Now, that's as far as we're going to go in our passage. And we want to stop and we want to just take a look real quick at what's going on here. The rabbis had commanded John and Peter, that's it, no more, cease and desist, chalas, end, no more preaching in the name of Jesus. You got it, guys? And if you do, we're going to do this to you and we're going to do that to you. They threatened them. Well, Peter and John say, hey, look, whether it's right to obey you or obey God, you decide that for yourself. But we are going to continue to talk about what we have seen, the miracles of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and what we have heard, the teachings of Jesus, right? Okay. Now, when John and Peter say that they must obey God, what are they talking about? Well, they're talking about Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel, where the Lord gave the Great Commission, Mark chapter 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's an imperative. It's not a suggestion, and it's not a request. It is a command. How about Acts chapter 1? And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Yeah, this is what God commanded them. And this is what they're talking about, that if we obey you, then we will have to disobey God. You're giving us no choice, and therefore we are going to disobey you, and we are going to obey God. Now, that's as far as we want to go in the passage, because we want to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Here we go now. Come on. One, two, three. So, what? Yeah. And you know, how great is it that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and actually gave us something to go out and talk to people about? Something to go out and tell people. If you're a Muslim, what are you going to go tell people? Muhammad is dead. Okay. If you're a Buddhist, what are you going to go tell people? Buddha's dead. Confucius is dead. Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science, dead. L. Ron Hubbard, Scientology, dead. Rabbi so-and-so-and-so-and-so, dead. No, right? Joseph Smith, the Mormons, dead. But we have a Savior who's alive. Praise the Lord. We got something to tell people. You bet. Praise the Lord. Now, you say, Lon, this is wonderful, but I don't really see that this has that much to do with me. Oh, much in every way, my friends. Because in real life, many of us often get to these very kinds of circumstances in our life, where someone is telling us, commanding us to do something, and yet it clearly doesn't agree, clearly contrasts with what God is telling us to do. Where? In the Bible. Yeah. Or maybe deep in our soul as we've read the Bible. Now, the Bible's very clear that we as Christians are to obey human authority. For example, Romans 13, let me read it to you. And of course, I'm using the New King James Version of the Bible. Verse 1, Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. These are governing authorities that we're told to obey. The police, our president, the laws of the land. Yes. And then in Colossians, God takes this even a little bit farther. He says in Colossians chapter 3, look at this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Servants, we could say today, employees, obey in all things your masters, we could say our bosses, our supervisors, according to the flesh. That is, our real boss is God, but these are our bosses according to the flesh. Not with eye service as pleasing men, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. So here we're told that if our boss or some human authority tells us to do something, that we are to obey them as unto the Lord, and not just when they're around, but even when they're not around, we are to sincerely obey them. You know, it's not like we do it when they're here, but when they're not here, we do whatever we feel like. No, that's, God says no. You are to obey authority. Okay. Now, many a time, a human authority will tell us something that contradicts what God says in the Word. They will tell us to lie. They will tell us to cheat. They will tell us to withhold information that could be in people's benefit, like the water from our manufacturing plant. Aaron Brockovich is leaching into the ground, and we're giving people cancer everywhere, and we know it, but we lie about it. And we want you to lie about it. Don't you dare tell anyone. Or, you know, your boss tells you to do something illegal or immoral or unethical, and you know God would not be pleased with this. Or maybe you're a wife and your husband asks you to do something that you know is contrary to the word of God. Or you're a child, and you, in which case you're under the authority of your parents, and they ask you to do something that is patently wrong. And you know God says differently in the Bible. What do we do when that happens? Well, Romans 13 and Colossians 3 don't include any corollaries or any exceptions. But we have one. We're going to compare scripture to scripture. That is the right way to interpret scripture, is if there is scripture speaking to the same topic in another passage, like here in Acts 4, the scripture is speaking to the very same issue as Romans 13 and Colossians 3, then we compare them in coming up with a balanced idea of what God wants us to do. Do you understand that? Comparing scripture with scripture, the Bible says. This is a solid way to interpret the Bible. Here in Acts chapter 4, we have a scripture speaking to the same subject that gives us an exception. Like John and Peter said, we will obey you, rabbis, but not if you tell us to disobey God. And God told us to go talk to people about him and the gospel. And if you tell us not to, I'm sorry, we're not going to obey you. We're going to obey God. Are you with me? Okay. So this brings up some interesting thoughts, like, what if you were living in 1776 and suddenly you were confronted with whether or not you were going to be one of the people who revolted and overthrew the authority of England over the colonies? What would you do? What would you do? Let's say you were living in the South in 1860 and suddenly you were confronted with revolting against the federal government and setting up the Confederacy. What would you do? Well, I'm not going to answer those questions because, this is an individual matter. You'd have had to make up your mind. But let's just say this. This is a great example, these two I just gave you, of where we need to be absolutely certain that we have exhausted every creative alternative to obey God and man at the same time. So maybe had the United States gone back and negotiated with George III in 1776, they could have come up with a way of obeying God and man, being subject to the crown in England, and still being able to be free men as they understood it here in America. They gave up. They didn't keep trying. I suspect many of the loyalists that did not join the revolution may have had this as their reason, perhaps. Or what about in 1860, when Abraham Lincoln said, I'm not going to outlaw slavery in the South. But they wouldn't even negotiate with him about how maybe slavery could be phased out or whatever. The people in the South just, fired on Fort Sumter and away it went. Could there have been to have something worked out to free the slaves and at the same time not revolt against the federal government? Maybe, but they didn't try it. My point simply is, we have to be absolutely sure that we have exhausted all reasonable possibilities before we pull this string that Peter and John pulled here. I mean, you know, the rabbi said, if you do it, if you go out and do it, we're gonna punish you. They threatened them. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because the people all glorified God for what had been done, the healing for the man in Acts 3, for the man was over 40 years old. They threatened them, and they said, you do this again, we'll arrest you, we'll put you in jail, we'll fine you, we'll beat you. I mean, I think they pretty much had exhausted all the possibilities. So that's where we have to be careful. Many of us are more inclined to pull the string too soon. We have to be very careful that when our boss asks us to do something, we really investigate. Is there a way that I can please my boss and at the same time please God? Is that possible? He's asking me to do something that I don't think is ethical. Okay. Is it possible that I can negotiate with him so I don't have to do anything unethical? That's a step we sometimes don't take. We just, you know, go up the flagpole, but we need to take that step. And we need to be sure that what we understand God's will to be from the Bible stands up to good and proper exegesis, interpretation. For example, one of the reasons in the South, years before the Civil War, that white slaveholders who claimed to be Christians did it is because pastors, many, not all, preached from the pulpit that this was biblical, based on some verses in the Old Testament book of Genesis about Ham, one of Noah's descendants. Well, they were wrong. The passage does not support slavery of people with dark skin. It does not. But that's what they preached, and that's what these people believed. Well, they believed, but what they believed was error. The point of this is that we need to be absolutely sure that we're interpreting the Bible properly, before we pull that string of disobeying human authority. So those are the two caveats. Number one, we have to be careful we've exhausted every possibility before we pull the string of disobeying human authority. And number two, we have to be careful that we are really going on solid, good exposition and interpretation of the Bible, and not somebody's hobby horse, but solid interpretation of the Bible before we pull that string. You with me? I'll close with an example. When I was in high school, my family hit a really rough patch and we needed money. My dad had a heart attack, a very serious one, when I was 16, the first of five. He lost his business. We lost our house. We lost everything, all our money, because he had allowed the health insurance for our family to lapse without telling anybody, because he didn't have enough money to pay it. So he allowed it to lapse. He had this heart attack. We lost everything. So when I was 17, it was important, or maybe 16, I forget which, it was important that I try to earn some money to help our family. And so I found this job in the paper advertised for young people, some who want summer jobs, to go around and take surveys. I called up, I found out what you do is you report to headquarters in the morning, they give you a stack of these surveys on six by nine cardboard sheets. You go around and you ask people, what are your three favorite magazines? And then you get their name and their address for this survey. And the more surveys you had filled out at the end of the day, the more money you made. So, man, I got the job. And every morning they would drop us off in a different neighborhood in Portsmouth or Norfolk, Virginia. And I'd hustle, man. I'd use every selling technique I knew. If somebody said, I don't really think I want to do that, I'd say, listen, come on. It's just a survey, right? It's not going to hurt you. And it would really help me because I make money doing this. And it's an innocent survey. Please, I'm asking you, please reconsider. I'm telling you, man, I would come back with virtually more surveys than any single person of all the young people that were doing this. And there were a bunch of us. I mean, 20-ish, maybe more. Well, I did this for about a month, and I was making, I mean, you know, I was bringing home money to help my family. And all of a sudden, I discovered, and you don't need to know how, it doesn't matter, but I discovered that something was rotten in Denmark here. I think you can already guess what it might be. What these guys were doing, my bosses, they were taking these surveys and they were signing people up. The question was, what are your three favorite magazines? They were signing people up, subscribing them to a monthly or weekly subscription to these magazines and billing them, because we had their home address on the survey, billing them for the magazines. Now, the people had not ordered magazines in their mind, but that's what was that was the con that was going on. And then they had another division of this company who would then call people up when they got the bill and would force them to pay it, would threaten them if they didn't pay for the magazine. And they couldn't cancel it for like at least a year. I mean, it was a con job. And I was helping them pull it off. So at that age, folks, I did not know the Lord, but I just knew I couldn't do this. And so I went to my boss. He said, if you don't do this, I'm going to fire you. And I'll never give you a good recommendation. I said, I can't do it. I mean, I just can't stand there. And beg these people to do that, knowing what's going to happen. These are nice people. They're offering me a glass of water in the hot summertime when I'm out here hustling around like that, you know, offering me a brownie or something. I can't do it. And so even though the boss told me to, I quit. Looking back, I still believe I did the right thing. Now, if I'd have been a Christian, I would have made it a matter of this is disobeying God. You know, you shall not steal. I'm stealing from these people and knowingly doing it. Okay. You know, many of you have seen the movie about the guy who, Heartbreak Ridge, I think's the name of it, where he believed with all of his heart that thou shalt not kill meant that he could not serve in the armed forces. Thank God our armed forces, for someone who has that conviction, has conscientious objector status, which he applied for, even though he was vilified for it, and got, if you remember the movie. And then he saved who knows how many lives as a medic. Okay. So he didn't immediately need to run to Canada. He didn't need to pull that string. There was a way to work this out where he wasn't disobedient to the authority of the army, but at the same time, he was able to obey God. If we can do that, great. And many times there is, and we need to make sure that we can't before we pull that string. Okay, I think you got what I'm saying. A number of years ago, and this is what the three Daniel's three friends did. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to worship this image, and they said no. Why? Because the second commandment, you shall not bow down to any graven images, you know, commandment number two. And Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't do it, I'm throwing you in the fiery furnace. You remember this story? And they said, our God is able to save us from the fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't decide to save us, we're not doing it. Okay. Did they have the Bible? Did they understand the Bible, commandment number two? Yes. They had a good understanding of what it was really saying. and that's what drove them. So that's the end of all of that. I just want to close with something a man said to me many years ago, and I think this will kind of sum everything up. It is never right to do a wrong to do a right. It is never right to do a wrong to do a right. All right? Let's go back. Was it right for me to want to help my family financially? Yes. But was it okay to do a wrong, cheat all these people, in order to do a right? No, that's not okay. So, maybe this will help you remember it. It is never right to do a wrong to do a right. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would really help us with these situations now to know a little bit better how to handle them. And there may even be some people listening to me today who are facing some of these situations right today in their lives, at school, at work. Please, Lord Jesus, give us wisdom. Help us only pull that string when it's absolutely necessary. But Lord, if we need to pull it, help us to pull it and to stand our ground for you with integrity and with forbearance and with courage. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Well, God bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you next week on Live with Lon.